Tell you what, I love to worship. You guys love to worship? Come on. Oh, the Bible says in His presence is fullness of joy. And there's nothing like being in the Lord's presence, man, and just worshiping Him. And isn't it great to know that at any moment we could just stop and recognize the fact that God is with us? At any moment. I mean, His presence is with us always, and it's just such a great and powerful truth. Well, you guys, listen, here's what we're going to do tonight, all right? You guys having a good time so far? You guys tracking with all this? You guys doing okay? Yeah? All right. Here's what we're going to do tonight. We've been talking about perspective, and I wish I could communicate this to you guys with enough passion where you believe it as well, that God really does desire to do a work in your life personally, in your life as a group, and in this generation to rock this world for Jesus Christ. And I believe you guys have all that it takes. You have a life that's, you're breathing, you're living, you have a mind, you have a soul, and you're willing just to say, God, here we are, I'm going to surrender my life to you. And I can't wait to see, and I'm excited to see what God has already done. I can't wait to see what He's going to do through your lives as you continue to trust in Him. So we've been looking at this concept of perspective and trying to wrap our minds around that. And so the first night we looked at getting a perspective on perspective, the fact that the way we see things is important. It impacts, it's the foundation of our life, the way we look at things, okay? And so then this morning we looked at this godly and this biblical perspective that we're supposed to have toward what? Others, right? The perspective toward others or toward other people, toward the people that are around us. And here's what I want to do tonight, okay? You ready for this? What I want to do tonight is kind of, if you could, with me in your mind, you're going to draw a circle around yourself, okay? And you're going to say, God, I want you to deal with me tonight, okay? We're going to look at the perspective on your person, on you and who you are. How are we supposed to biblically view me, this person, okay? Chris Norman, how am I supposed to view myself? So that's where we're going tonight. And so you guys, with that, let's turn to two places in your Bible. I'm going to go back over to Genesis 2. I love Genesis. So we're going to go over to Genesis 2. They're going to go with me also over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And with that, we're going to have a word of prayer and look at this perspective on the person, draw a circle around ourselves and ask God to deal with us. Genesis 2, Ephesians chapter 3. Let's pray. Lord, right now in this room, I believe, God, that you desire us to do a mighty and powerful work. And so, God, we open up our lives to you right now. We open up our lives to your word, and we ask that your word would speak into our hearts, that, God, you would use your word to grip us, to mold us, to shape us right now in these moments as we open up our life to you. I pray you would deal with us and the deep issues that are inside of our lives, maybe things that people around us don't even see, don't even know. That God, you would deal with those things tonight, we pray. We love you so much, Jesus, and we look forward to what it is your word has to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone agreed together and said,
amen.
Everyone said,
amen.
There we go. Hey guys, listen up. Here's the deal. For the most part, most songs can be listened to at just kind of a normal level, right? You know what I mean? Just like those background music, elevator music stuff that you can listen to at somewhat of a normal level. But then there's those songs. You know what I'm talking about? Come on. Those songs. Tell me that song for you. You know, that where it's like you can't listen to it at just a normal level. You have to crank it. What's that song for you? Come on. What is that song? Come on. Tell me. Tell me. Tell me. Talk to 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 me. Crowder. Okay. We got all this stuff, right? So here's the thing. That song comes on the radio and you're like, hold on a second. Turn it up, right? And you get it, you turn it up, and you're going down the road, and you're like, yeah, you know, and you're just having a great time. You've got to crank that song, you know? It's different for every generation. Like my dad and his generation, have you guys heard the song Born to be Wild? My wife's like, they don't know that song. Don't even mention it. I'm like, come on. Born to be wild. So I grew up, my dad, like that would be the song, we're driving in his Camaro, and he'd be like, hold on a second. Boom, we're cruising down with a T-top and he's cranking Born to be Wild. For my mom, it's like, when a man loves a woman. She's like, bring it, you know? She's like, where's that man? Honey, you better be like that, right? That's her song. For my kids lately, it's super embarrassing because they play DJ while we're driving in the car. And it's super embarrassing because lately they've been, well, it's like the best of both worlds. You know, what's Hannah Montana. Yeah. And so it's super embarrassing because it's like, here's this 33-year-old dude, like, driving down, and, like, the back windows are tinted, so you can't see anything. It's illegal to tint the front windows, at least in California. And so I'm blaring Hannah Montana, you know what I mean? Pumping up the party now, hey, come on. And it's like, I'm cruising down the road, and people are pulling up next to me like, are you kidding me right now? I'm like, yeah, me and Hannah just love it. Super embarrassing. So my kids, that's their song. They've got to crank that song. They and you know, I found myself once I'm in the backyard listening to my iPod. I think it was like, I'm a big Skillet fan. I love listening to Skillet. Yeah, love Skillet. So I'm in the backyard, just like, you know, you can't just stand still when you're listening to Skillet, you know. So I've got my weed whacker, because we don't really have a yard. It's more like a bunch of weeds, and so I got my weed whacker, and it's just like, going off in my backyard. And then I look up and I realize there's like a crowd gathered to watch me, because there's this sidewalk that goes by our house. People are looking at me like, you got to be kidding me, dude. What are you doing? But I'm into it, man. It's like, you can't just listen to that stuff at like normal volume. You've got to crank it. You know, you've got to hear it, and you've got to feel it at full volume. And you guys, here's what I want you to understand tonight. As you draw that circle around yourself, okay, and you say, God, deal with me. God, deal with my life. God, move in my life. Here's what you need to understand, you guys, that your life was created to live at full volume. Your life and the song that you've been created to crank, the song that you've been created to jam to, so to speak, is the song that's been created to move you, is the song of your fellowship and your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the song that you should be just going, you know, like that's the song that you've got to crank in your life. Back in Genesis chapter 2, I asked you guys to turn there with me if you would. Genesis 2, here's what's going on. God creates the heavens and the earth, and talk about a master plan community. This was just like gorgeous, right? He creates all of this for Adam, and he says, Adam, check it out. I can just imagine Adam, he's got Adam kind of like his hand over Adam's eyes. Like he just created all this stuff. And he's, Adam, come here, ready? Adam, check it out, you know? And it's just perfectly manicured gardens, this like perfect. And then to top it all off, God goes and he creates the most, well, amazing creation, if not the most amazing, definitely the most complex. There's this thing called a woman that he creates, right, in the garden. And the Lord creates this woman, and Adam's so stoked, he names her. He goes, whoa, man! And God says, all right, woman, right? And so he names her, and then check it out. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. I want you guys to see this. You ever read the Bible, and you're kind of like, what's that there for? This is one of those what's that there for verses, right? Watch this. Verse 24 of chapter 2. It says, therefore the man shall leave his mother and his father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Okay, I can handle that. Verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and not ashamed. It's like, God, why did you have to go and like point out that detail? It's like, we could have gotten along without that. You know, why all of a sudden, hey, they were naked and not ashamed? Like, are we supposed to go, like, start nudist colonies now? Or, like, what's the deal, Lord? Like, hey, man, I'm just trying to get back to the garden, you know? Just, no, not at all. Here's the deal. Here's what's going on. That word there, when he talks about being naked and not ashamed, has nothing to do with starting nudist colonies and that whole vibe, okay? Here's the deal. It literally means this. That they were living with no walls, listen, no barriers, they were not hiding, they were completely open without any shame. There was no sense of guilt, they absolutely had nothing to hide. And here they are in this perfect world of harmony with God and with each other, and there's nothing to hide. There's no shame. They have perfect and open fellowship with each other and with God. They're naked and unashamed. There's complete openness. And guys, listen, in the biggest way, they're living in this rhythm. They're living in this harmony that each and every one of us have been created to thrive in. A relationship and a harmony with God and a relationship and a harmony with one another. It's what we all crave. We desire relationship. The most painful feeling in this planet is loneliness. When nobody cares and no one's really worried about me, no one's thinking about me, because we crave relationship. We want that in our core. It's what we're after. That's why you go into Starbucks and it's just like you know, you look around and it drives me nuts. It's hysterical. You know, we're all in Starbucks together and we feel like, and the reason it's taken off so well, right, is because you feel like there's this sense of what? Community. Oh, we're hanging. We're all in Starbucks together. Here's the deal. We're all hiding behind our computers, you know, but we're all here together. And so it's kind of this sense of community. In Orange County, it's huge. It's like you're carrying your Starbucks cup and now it's like Pete's. I don't know if you guys heard of Pete's, but Pete's is like right in there too. But you carry your Starbucks cup, and it's almost like what the bikers do to each other, like the Harley dudes are like, hey, you know what I mean? People do that with their Starbucks cups, like, hey, man, got a Starbucks cup there? Sweet, right? And we there's this sense of like community and belonging. That's why, like with MySpace, it goes to 54 million users almost immediately, just woof, through the woof. Why? Because it's a place for friends, and everybody wants friends. Everybody wants to belong and to have relationship and fellowship, and we're longing for it. We crave it. But here's the deal. You know, the story goes on. The story goes on. We're living in perfect harmony with God, with each other, but what happens? Man decides to say, God, you know what? We see your government. We see the way you want to do things, but listen, we're going to do it our way. We've got our plan. We've got the way we want to do things. And man steps into the picture and messes it up. Man rebels and man breaks the harmony that we once had with God and we once had with each other. Okay? It throws it into disarray because man falls into sin and now a holy God can no longer have fellowship or cannot dwell in that same harmony with an unholy man. You guys follow that? Okay? And what happens now is that this Bible you hold in your hand, it becomes this love story of a God who loves you so much that he sends his son Jesus Christ to hunt you down and bring you back into that relationship with him that you've been created to have from all eternity. And that's what this story is all about. From beginning to end, it's God hunting down the people he loves, God desiring to bring those people back into the very thing that they've been created to have, relationship with him and relationship with one another. Life at full volume, and God is hunting us down. That's what God is after. That's his pursuit, is us. So what does God do as you read through the Bible? God employs, because now there's this separation, so God employs a temple. God employs the ark. God employs the Holy of Holies. And there are all these pictures of God's presence with his people. God can't dwell perfectly in perfect harmony with his people and openly like he once did in the garden. So now there's all these faint, the Bible calls them theophanies, just God kind of showing up a little bit. That's what the Holy of Holies was all about. Who's heard of the Holy of Holies? Come on, raise your hand. You Bible scholars, all right. The Holy of Holies, what's it all about? It's just like God's footstool. It's like the holiness, the magnificence of God that all the earth can't contain, all the universe can't contain. It's just kind of resting. Like God's putting his little pinky on the earth there in the Holy of Holies, right? And only once a year could the high priest go in there. And it was with fear and trembling because he thought, man, if I have blown it and haven't covered my sin right, the holiness of God is going to strike me dead. They would put little bells around this guy's robe, which is weird enough to wear a robe, not a job. I'm going to, you know, it's like if they still did that today, I'd have to think twice about the whole pastor deal. You know, it's like they had to wear this robe and they had to put like little bells around it. And they go in there to the holiness, holies of holies. And if their sin wasn't atoned for right, boom, the holiness of God would knock them down. So here's all these guys on the outside of this curtain listening for bells. Did his bells stop? Hey, Henry, I don't think I hear his bells anymore. And they'd take him, and they always had a rope attached to his leg, and they'd drag him out, and they'd send the next guy in, right? Next! I don't want to be second in that line. No, thank you. So here's these pictures of God just going, hey, I want to be with my people. But your sin can't, we have to deal with that issue, right? And God employs all these things, and God's letting us know that, hey, I want to be with you people. And now here I asked you guys to turn over to Ephesians. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3. Here over in Ephesians, Paul writing says something that should blow our minds. Paul writes now, with all this background, God hunting down his people, the holiness of God, the sinfulness of man, unable to live in harmony with one another. And now Paul is writing here in the book of Ephesians, and he says something amazing. He says this, guys, listen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. It says, to know the love of God which passes all knowledge, and watch this, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul is praying for these people, and he says, here's what I'm praying for you, that you will be filled with all the fullness of God. Hang on a second, Paul. What are you saying? Paul's saying, there is a way that man can be brought back into the fullness of what God has for their life. There's a way that man can once again experience life at full volume. And Paul's saying, that is what I'm praying for you guys, that you would move into that place. Okay, Paul, hang on a second. How is it possible that my life can move into this place of full volume, that my life can experience God and the fullness of God and all he has for me? How is that possible? Paul says, let me give you the key. His prayer is the key. So let's rewind for a second and look at this key. How do we step into all that God has for us? As we draw this circle around ourselves, how do we move back into full volume? Paul's prayer reveals to us that key that opens the door for us to experience all that God has. Back up now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Watch the key. Paul says, for this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Pause for me with a second. With a second? How about for a second? Let's try that one. Paul goes in, and here's the picture. Paul says, I'm going before the king, okay? And it's this picture of this humble man going before this king who has all the resources, all the power, all the might, all the glory. And he's going before this king on behalf of his friends, okay? And he gets before the king and he bows down before the king and he says, King, I need to talk to you about my friends over here, right? And I'm going to need you to do something for my friends over here. And Paul's saying, this is what I'm doing. I'm going before the king and I'm praying for you guys. And we're going, all right, cool, man. You're going to go to God and you're going to ask him to do something on my behalf? Well, what is it, Paul? What are you going to ask him? I mean, this is dream big here, baby, right? What are we going to ask him? Let's ask God to do this thing. Let's ask God to do that thing. Let's ask God for more friends on my Facebook and more friends on my MySpace and more friends. Let's ask God for, let's ask God. Okay, listen, Paul says, here's what I'm going to pray. What does Paul pray? He says that he may grant you, follow me, says that he may grant you according to his riches and his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit. Pause with me again. Okay, I can handle that. Matter of fact, that's a great thing, Paul. You go before the king, and what you're going to ask God on my behalf is to be strengthened with might by his spirit. Bring it on, right? I like strength. You like strength? We know the importance of strength. We want strength. Bring on the strength. We understand that. Man, I like it, Paul. Sounds good. Bring on the strength. And for the most part, we understand the importance of strength, right? If a girl had her choice, she wants to hook up with a guy who's a little bit ripped, right? Tatum didn't have a choice. He's stuck with me. Although I was watching UFC, and I'm thinking if I work out enough, I might be able to pull that off. Maybe not. We understand the importance of strength, right? We want strong, that's why our gyms are packed at. Everyone's working out. Guys are looking at themselves in the mirror. Yeah, I'm going to impress my lady, whatever. We want strong economies. We want strong sports teams. What's your sports team? Come on. They're all weak. They're all weak. Some sports fans out here in New Mexico. So we want, listen, you guys want strong sports teams. And here's the deal. All of you think that they're strong. Oh, your team, my team is stronger than your team. My team's better than your team. Because we understand the importance of strength, right? We understand that. We want that. We want a strong economy. We want strong sports teams. We want, you name it, we want the strength. But notice this, guys. And here's the key. Here's the thing I need you guys to wrap your brain around tonight. Paul does not pray for a strong economy. He doesn't pray for a strong sports team. He doesn't pray for, whatever, strong physically, physique, strong. He doesn't pray for any of that. Here's what he prays, and I want you to zero in on this, and I want you to underline it, circle it in your Bible, whatever you got to do. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glories to be strengthened with might through his spirit, where? In the inner man. Do you see that? At the end of verse 16, chapter 3, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Paul, man, you blew it. Here you had all this opportunity to do all this, and you pray for strength in the inner man? Why the inner man? Why that, Paul? And here, Paul introduces us to, he gives us the key to living life at full volume, that we be strengthened with might in our inner man. So here's what happens, guys, and I need you to follow this. When Paul says inner man, automatically he presents to us this concept of both an outer man and an inner man. I need you guys to follow me on this because it gets kind of deep, okay? He presents to us an outer man and an inner man. That we as a people, as the person, when we draw our circle around ourselves, are divided into these two categories. There's this outer guy and there's this inner guy. Well, first of all, what's this outer man that we see throughout Scripture? The outer man, first of all, is two things. First of all, it's two things, if that makes sense. The outer man is two things. Ready? Two things. First of all, it's the physical you. The outer man is the physical you. It's your appearance. It's what we see. And here's the thing. Yes, you could pray for strength on your outer man, right? And yes, you could work out your outer man. You can diet, you can exercise, you could bust out your Wii Fit, whatever you've got to do, right? And here's the thing. You could exercise this outer man. You could work on this physique. But let me tell you something, you guys. The Bible says that physical exercise profits little. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. That's all. Just a little bit. And the Bible also says that from dust we came and to dust we're going to return. So someday, and I know it's really hard for you to understand because you're junior high school and you look at me like, yeah, right. But someday you're going to look in the mirror and realize that your whole body is trying to return to the dust. It's like, everything's just starting to go like, I want the dust. You know, that's just your body is made to do that. And someday, mark my words, it's going to happen. Because this physical man is just not where it's at. It profits a little. The outer man also does not only refer to your physical appearance, okay? But it also refers to this, the perceived you. The perceived you. See, the outer man can be this perception of who you are as opposed to the reality of who you are. While the inner man is the real you, the true self, the identity beyond the perceived you. The outer man is the perceived you. And see, guys, we can get really good at putting up this front and making our outward man or the perception of who we are, the thing that people see, we get really good at making that look so good, look so different than who we truly are. And we kind of separate them. There's this outer person. Oh, check me out. This is who I am. And then there's this inner person that we just don't want anyone to see. And so there's this perceived you, you guys. And this outer man is just kind of like a show sometimes. Hey, hi, you know, I got my Bible today. I'm loving Jesus. Oh, check me out. I know all the words. Holy art thou, Lord. Bless you, brother. You know, praise Jesus. You know, I've got all that down. My outer man is all spit and polished. And I've got that all down. But it's just a show. It's just the outer man. It's a play or it's a mask that we kind of wear around. You kind of hide behind. There's a word for that. The Bible calls it hypocrisy. Okay? What is hypocrisy? When you read it, the hypocrisy comes from the Greek language or the Greek culture. It was a stage actor, somebody who gave a public performance in which they pretended to be somebody who they really weren't. Okay? The Romans adopted this, and they used it in their acting, and it was a stage player who hid behind a mask. They were called a hypocrite. So they would go out on stage, they'd put up these, you've seen them before, maybe if you guys have studied history, these big masks. They'd hide behind them, and they would act from behind them, and they would say their lines from behind these big masks. Hey, check me out. Here's my person, okay? Here's who I am. But they really weren't genuinely that person. It was just a big stage play. It was just a big mask. That's what hypocrisy is. That's what that word means. Often, you guys, we hear people say this about the church, don't we? Don't we? What's the number one reason? Like, people won't go to church. I'm not going to church. It's full of what? It's full of hypocrites. And what do we usually do? Oh, we make a joke and we go, why don't you come up and join us? You'll fit right in. Ha, ha, ha. Right? And we try to blow it off. But I would ask that we'd really stop and consider what's being said, guys, right now. What is it that they're saying? What if we really did stop and consider what it is people are saying about the church? If we really stopped and we looked at the church and we really stopped and looked at our lives, would we find a group of people? A group of people who get so busy polishing the outside, guys, getting so busy making everything look all great on the outside that we neglect what's happening on the inside. That we do so much work on the outside, that we strive so hard out here, and we ignore the issues of life, and we do so much that there actually becomes a separation from who we really are, the inner man, and who we pretend to be, the outer man. Would we find that in the church? It's what Jesus constantly dealt with. In the book of Matthew, he tells the Pharisees, he says, "You whitewashed sepulchers." He says, you look all great on the inside, but on the outside, but inside you're dead man's bones. And Jesus was constantly dealing with this. That's Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. We go around maybe trying so hard to look great on the outside, trying to make things look so good outwardly, but we neglect what's happening inside. And the outward man is no longer a genuine portrait of who we really are. But guys, here's the deal. Isn't that easier sometimes? I mean, let's just be honest real quick. Isn't it easier sometimes that instead of dealing with my junk, instead of dealing with the things I know are off, instead of dealing with my sin, instead of dealing with all these things, isn't it just easier sometimes to come over here and fashion myself a mask and show up and go, "Look, I'm smiling. Look, I'm holy. Look, I love Jesus," right? When inside we just know we're struggling, we're hurting, we're wrestling with big issues, we're wrestling with sin that is destroying us, we're wrestling with, you know, somebody that just offered me this. There's a guy that wants to, you know, you girls, there's some guy that wants to sleep with me next weekend, there's some thing over here, and we're wrestling with all this stuff, but we show up, we just kind of pretend that nothing's going on. Man, it's so much easier sometimes. Because that way I don't have to deal with it. That way I don't have to change. That way I don't have to be judged by all the people around me. I'm just going to show up and smile and let everyone keep their distance. Don't get into my life at all. I'm just going to put up this face, and that's just the way it's going to be. It's just so much easier sometimes. Instead of being honest with ourselves and the Lord and others, it's easier to fashion a mask. Kind of wear that around. Act like everything's okay. Ignore the matters of the heart. No one has to see it. No one has to know. Besides, I don't even have to change. Just keep wearing my mask. And we think this, you know. We go, you know what, it doesn't matter. As long as everyone thinks I've got it all together, as long as everyone thinks I'm okay, then I must be okay. I'll just keep playing the game. And we go on thinking that we're going to get away with it. We go on thinking that we can just bury those things, those issues. Guys, follow me. We're going to bury those issues. We're going to just push them down and suppress them and not have to deal with them. We're just going to bury that stuff and not let it go to the surface, right? We're just going to live our life. I'm just going to keep doing that. Hey, maybe even the eyes of the Lord won't see this. Maybe even God's eyes will skip over this one if I push it down enough and keep my mask up. Maybe that'll take place. Maybe it's some kind of sinner life where you think, you know what? It's not a big deal. It's just a deal, you know? Just a deal. Just a little deal. Little white lie. Like, what's a white lie? Like, where'd that come from? Like, God's looking down going, "Oh, yeah, you're right. It is a white lie. Look at that. What am I thinking? That's cool." No, it's not cool. It's a lie. But yet we just try to, it's not a big deal, right? Or maybe it's this, you guys. Maybe we would like to see change. Maybe we would like to see God do something in our life, but we just feel like, you know, I don't have the strength. And so you just keep putting on the show because you don't want to actually have to deal with that thing because, follow me, you don't think you can deal with it. You think this is just the way I am. This is the way I was born. I'm never going to get over this thing. And I don't want to even have to talk to anyone about it. I don't ever have to want to deal with it because they don't understand. Jesus can't even help me out here. Let me tell you something, guys. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He can handle our little issues. Amen? Amen. He's a big God. And so we can't just continue to bury that stuff. We got to say, God, here it is. Here it is. Maybe for some of you, you know, we go on pretending like everything's okay. We put the smile on around people. But when we get alone, there's this weight of guilt, maybe even shame of stuff we've done that just haunts us. And it drags us into this depression, the stuff that just keeps coming up over and over and again in our lives. You know, and I do that. I think it's easier to hide behind this outward man. But Paul's praying that we'd be strengthened where, guys? In our inner man. That's where things would be dealt with. And here's the problem. The problem is that we always, if we always hide behind the outer man, Guys, if we're always hiding behind that, healing will never take place in our lives. Healing will never allow God to touch those areas of our life. We'll never be healed in those areas of our life. We have to learn to face the reality of what's really going on in what we've called our personal lives, our inner man. We have to come face to face with those issues of our inner man and allow the Holy Spirit of God to do his work there. Why? Because your inner man is what matters most. It's your inner man that directs everything else in your life. It's your inner man that God sees. When God looks at you, what does he see? He doesn't look at you and go, well, look at you all spit and polished up today. Man, check you out. That's a nice mask. Where did you make that at? Wow, I'm so impressed. So what God sees, he sees past all our masks. He sees past all the little, check me out, I'm holding my Bible right, I got all the right words. He sees past all that and he goes, whoop, right to your heart. Right to your heart. And he says, I see that. That's what God sees. Matter of fact, in 1 Samuel 16, God sent Samuel to anoint the new king from Jesse's house and Jesse's family. And this is what the Lord says. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the, guess what it says, heart. The Lord sees our hearts. He sees what's going on there. So here's the deal. We need to allow God, by his Holy Spirit, to strengthen us in the inner man, to deal with the things that are on the inside. Some of those things that are on the deep parts of our hearts. And just exactly how does God do that? How does he do that? Continue reading this key with me, if you would. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 now. So how does this work take place if God's strengthening the inner man? It says this, watch this, guys, get this. This is that step into life at full volume. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Say that with me. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Say dwell, dwell. Here's the deal. He says, here's how your inner man is going to be strengthened. The Spirit of God is going to do a work in your life right now. The Spirit of God is going to do work in your life tonight. The Spirit of God wants to move in your life, and here's what he wants to do. He wants to bring Jesus Christ to dwell in your hearts by faith. What does that mean? What are you talking about? Dwell. That word dwell means to settle down. It means to be at home. It says that Christ would be at home in your hearts through faith. He would dwell there. The strength to deal with those issues of the inner man, those things that we just think we're not strong enough to deal with, those issues that we just keep ignoring and we keep blowing off, the strength to deal with those things comes when you open your life up to Jesus Christ by faith. You say, God, I want you to do in every part of my life. In every part of me, I give you all of my life. I want you to dwell in every square inch of this home of who I am. You ever have people come over your house that you like really don't want there? You know what I mean? Anybody ever have that happen? Come on, I'm not alone. Here's how I deal with that. Knock, 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 knock. Oh, man. Open the door. This is what you do. You either leave the screen door shut. You know what I mean? Well, come on, I'm not that rude. Okay, maybe a little bit. But you leave the screen door shut, right? And like, hey, yeah, okay, cool, yeah. All right, yeah, well, you know, hey, and then you try to sound Christian. God bless you, man. Okay, all right, bro, we'll see you. And you just kind of, you know, and maybe it's somebody that's somewhat familiar, but, you know, you still don't want them to stay forever because you got other things going on. And so you maybe open the screen door, but you kind of stand in front of the door. You know, like you're just going to stand there. You're not going to let them in. But there's all these stages to, like, how we kind of let people into our home. The other one is, like, we're so lucky. We have, like, this tile in our house. It's, like, by the front door. And you let them in onto the tile. You can hang out on the tile. You know, just stay there. And I block out the wood floor because that would be like, that would be coming into my home. You know what I mean? And there's all these stages. So like I leave him on, you go, I'm never going to this guy's house. Now I know what he's going to do, right? I wouldn't do that to you guys. I'd be like, come on. Hey, no, here we go. So we have these like stages, you know what I mean? So you can hang out on my, but there's the other one. Okay, I guess you come in, but don't sit down on anything. Just don't sit on the couch because then that means you can like stay forever. And I'm not just going to stay forever. I mean, just hang out for a second because I got a lot to do. I got other things that's happening, right? But what happens when somebody who's like, you know, you're You love them. They're just like your best friend in the world. They're the greatest people on the planet. You see them, you're like, hey! You open up the door and you're like, move in! Like, come on! What do we say? Mi casa es tu casa, or however it goes, right? I don't know Spanish. This is what I do know in Spanish. El niño means the niño. Okay, here we go. Something like that. Now, we invite them into our home. We're like, come on in, come dwell in my house. And what do? They go for the fridge. Don't they go for the fridge? It's like they go over like, what is this? And now they know everything we're eating. Now they know everything that's going on in our life. They're digging into our food. They're digging into our closets. They're digging into everything because we're letting them dwell in our house. Listen, that's what that word means. That we would open the door to Jesus and say, come dwell. Dwell in my home. Dwell in my heart. That we don't stand at the screen door of Jesus going, hey, it's you. Oh, look. Hang on a second, Jesus, because here's the deal. You see, here's the deal, Jesus. You could come in, but can you just stay there? Like, right the tile. You look great on the tile. Don't you like the tile, Jesus? That's some good tile right there. I'll let you hang on the tile. Jesus goes, but what's happening in the living room right there? What's that? Oh, Jesus, yeah. The living room, probably not a great idea because, see, there's this TV show on right now that you're just not going to be cool with, all right? So could you just stay here? We don't want you in the living room. And plus that, if you work your way into the kitchen and you see all the junk I've been eating lately, oh, man, you're going to put me on some, like, health diet or something. I don't want that. Jesus, could you kind of stay out of the fridge of my life? Oh, and next to the fridge, if your house is anything like mine, there's this thing called a junk drawer. And trust me, Jesus, you don't want to see in my junk drawer, all right? Because, see, there's these things in the junk drawer, Jesus, that I just know you're not going to be okay with, and I know you're going to want me to get rid of, but I kind of like these things. They're just little things that I only get out every now and then, and it's not that big of a deal. And Jesus, would you just stay out of my junk drawer? Matter of fact, Jesus, I don't even think you can handle the junk drawer. And here's the other thing. There's this closet, Jesus, in my life that I just know you don't want to go there. Matter of fact, I know that you probably can't even handle those things that are in my junk drawer, Jesus, or my closet, right? But Paul's saying life at full volume is when you say, Jesus, I open it all up. All of it. It's all yours. Here I am completely. But what do? We go, I know, Jesus, I know you say that there's fullness in you that I can experience. Oh, Jesus, I know that there's life at full volume, that you want to move into every area of my life. Oh, yeah, Jesus, I know that. I know that there's areas of my life that are ripping me off right now and destroying me and destroying my futures. But, Jesus, it's just that closet of shame. I don't know if I could ever escape the guilt of what I've done. I don't know if I could ever escape that addiction. You see, Jesus, I'm addicted, right? Okay, I should have gotten out the exit a long time ago, but I didn't, and now there's just no way out of this thing. I've climbed up the tree, I can't get down, kind of thing, like the cat, and you just can't handle this, Jesus, right? So don't even go to that closet. Just stay away from that. I mean, how can I trust you with that? Oh, what's that, Lord? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Are you kidding me? Really? That's for me? Okay, fine, Lord, but here's the thing. I don't know if I can give you all areas of my life because I don't really know if I can trust you with those things. I mean, you're going to rearrange my life. It's going to be different. And I don't know if I want my life different because, you see, Lord, I've got visions. I've got plans. I've got dreams. And I don't really know if your visions, plans, and dreams line up with my visions, plans, and dreams. And I don't really know if what you have is really good because, you see, what I'm planning, it's awesome, right? I've got big plans for my life, Jesus. I don't want you to mess up my plans. Oh, what's that, Jesus? What? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says Jehovah, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, a good end. You mean your plan for my life is far outweighs my plan? It's better than anything? All right. But here's the deal, Lord. The junk drawer, I don't know if I could ever have the strength to overcome those weaknesses in my life. I don't know if I could ever do that, Jesus. I can't give you that. I mean, how could you even love me after seeing that stuff? How could you even care about me after looking at that, Jesus? And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Really, Lord? I mean, all this stuff that I hide, all this stuff that I bury, all this stuff that I'm ashamed of, you want. And so for whatever reason, you guys, for whatever reason, we allow that inner man to be filled with everything other than Jesus. Often because we don't trust him. Often because we don't really believe he's good. We don't really believe he's big enough. We don't really believe that he's going to do more in our lives than we could ever think or imagine. And we go on allowing ourselves, and you need to hear this, we go on allowing ourselves to be ripped off by the enemy. Ripped off because we continue to press Jesus out of these areas of our life. We don't say, Lord, dwell. If we ever move into that place of surrender to Jesus, here's the great thing, you guys. Life moves into this place of full and constant volume. Life moves into this place where you're living in what Jesus said is life and life more abundantly. Life through the roof, literally. When you allow Jesus to come in an area of life. Listen to how it says in our scriptures that we're reading tonight. Verse 17 at the end. It says that, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And watch this. And you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of God that passes knowledge. He says, here's what goes on. When you say, Jesus, dwell in me, when you say, okay, here it is, he says, here's what's going to happen. You're going to know the love of God. The love of God is going to move into your heart and move into your life and move into every area of your being. You'll move into this place of life at full volume. It's like our roots start to go down into God's love. And this love, he says, that we are both rooted and grounded in it. What does that mean? When you open up your life up to Jesus, he says, you're rooted in that love. That means that you start to draw your nourishment from the love of God. Everything you need, everything you desire, everything you could ever want comes from Jesus because you're rooted in him. You're drawing your nourishment and your strength from him. He says you're grounded in that love. What does that mean? It means nothing's going to move you, guys, because you're his. He's on your side. You're grounded. You draw your stability from him. Because those roots never stop growing. They never stop exploring the magnitude of his love. He says that this love is beyond knowing. I mean, think about that. I mean, that's such a weird thing to say. You're going to know a love that's beyond knowing when you open up your life to Jesus completely, allow him to dwell in your heart. It's like, what is that? It's like the universe, you guys. You know, we discover things about the universe, and you know what happens? The more and more we discover about the universe, we're like, check out that star. Wow, would you look at that? And what do we discover more and more as we discover more and more about the universe? That we can't discover all of it. We want to. We send satellites out there. We're like, how big is this thing? How deep is this thing? How wide is this thing? How high? And we're sending some. I want to discover. It's the same thing with God's love. He's like, listen, you're going to be tripped out by how big God's love is. You're just like, you're going to be sending satellites into God's love. Like, are you kidding me? What's around that corner? You mean he loves me that? You mean he's that big? You mean I do stupid things and he's still there for me? You mean he can forgive me? Whoa. So this is beyond knowing that love that God has for you. And if we surrender that love, if we allow the Lord to move into our inner man, we discover all that he has for us. But the flip side of that, if you never, guys, let's be close. If you never learn to move to that place, if you never let go of those things that you're holding on to, if you never say, Jesus, here it is, then listen, then you never discover. You are ripped off. You are held back from living what Paul calls here in the fullness of God. Our life at full volume. Look at the end of verse 19. It says, to know the love of God, which passes all understanding, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Guys, to be filled with God is a good thing. Amen? Amen? To be filled with the fullness of God is even a greater thing. And he says this, to be filled with all the fullness of God is more than we could ever comprehend. But that's what he's after. It's what God desires for each of us. that we would be filled to capacity and even overflowing with all of who God is. Here's what it means. It means that in him, all of who he is would become everything to us and all of who we are. Let me say that again. That in him, all of who he is would become to us everything of who we are. Here's how it breaks down. That his power would become our protection. That his wisdom would become our guidance. That his faithfulness would become our foundation. That his grace would become our salvation. You see that? That his fullness becomes everything to us. So much so that there's nothing else. There's no other room. There's no room for anything else to fit in our lives. It's just all him. There's no room for the junk because God fills every area, every square inch of our life. Fully trusting Jesus in every area. Gang, are you willing? Are you willing to live life at full volume? Are you willing to take that knob that maybe you've cranked it down to like a 4? Maybe up at a 6? No, you just kind of, are you willing to say, you know what? Crank it. Turn it all the way. I'm going to push that sucker past 10. I want all that God has for my life. Are you willing to be that person? And yield to the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing the presence of Christ into every area of your life. Even those areas, listen, that you've been trying to ignore lately. I don't know what that stuff is. I don't know what's going on in your lives. I tell you this, Jesus knows. He sees it. Are you willing to yield that area of your life? That stuff you've been trying to bury lately? Guys, listen, I just know some of us in here, or just even right now, you're thinking on that thing and just going, I don't want to deal with it. God says, give it to me, man. Let me cleanse you of that thing. Let me give you life. One of my favorite scriptures, I'm going to end on it. Psalm 81:10 says this, I am the Lord thy God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. It says, open your mouth wide that I might fill it. I love that psalm. It's like God's just going, I dare you to open your mouth wide. Why? It's just because I'm going to fill it. Are you kidding me? And it's like this challenge. You know, some Christians get around God like, okay, God, here we go. Ready? Ready? Don't miss, Lord. Here you go. Just kind of right there. You know, like, don't miss. God's going, are you kidding me, man? Open your mouth wide that I can fill it. It's like going, here, and God's going, come on, open it wide. And I'm just going to go, boof, fill you. It's like, I love that. It's a promise. Like, I don't have to wonder what's going to happen when I open my mouth wide, when I open my life wide. I know what's going to happen. God says, I'm going to fill you up. I'm going to touch you. Oh, but here's the hard thing. When you open your mouth wide, that's saying, I give it all, everything. That relationship I'm not supposed to be in right now, that website that I keep going to, I'm not supposed to, this addiction that I just think I can't get, I gotta give it all to you. And that's the thing that'll rip people off. We're like a bunch of kids sometimes, you know? A kid playing with pots and pans in the kitchen is cute, like when they're 2 or 1, maybe. It's like, all right, I can handle that. But if they're like, you know, like pushing into 16, you're like, what are you doing with the pots and pans on the floor? This is a little weird. Hey, son, I've got keys for you. You know, it's called a car. You want to drive the car? And how foolish would it be for that kid to go, no, my pots and pans, you know? How dare you take these from me? Do you understand? These are mine. Listen. Right? This rocks. I'm going like, you're being ripped off. Like, vroom, vroom, you know, car. Do you understand this concept? And here's what God's doing. He's going, listen, guys, listen. Car. We're going, pots and pans. And God's going, just give me that junk. Just give me that stuff that you think is so valuable, that you think is so worthy, you think is so great. God's looking at going, it's garbage. Get rid of this. Let go. And here's the deal. Here's your job. Ready? It's just going like this. Just let go. And what happens is when you let go of that garbage, the junk, the stuff you think is so cool, the stuff you just think you can't get rid of, God says, thank you very much, and here you go. He fills your life when you just let go of that stuff. The Bible says that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Here's what you understand. God is more ready and willing to forgive us, to wash us, to cleanse us, and to fill us than we are to simply say, I blew it. God's just willing and ready, and all we have to say is, here. That's all we have to do. I don't know about you guys, but I'm amazed at the fact that Jesus Christ loves me and wants to have a relationship with me. I'm amazed at the fact that his love can conquer my deepest hurts, my deepest pains, my addictions, my whatever it might be, that God can conquer those things. I'm amazed that I can live life at full volume with him. And guys, listen. What about you? What are you going to do? Tonight's your night of decision. This moment, right now, is where you're going to either say, God, give it all, or I'm going to keep, hold on my little... I'm going to say, God, I'm going to open my mouth wide. And for some of you, maybe it's just, hey, I'm a Christian. You know, I love Jesus. But you've never said, I give you my future. I give you everything. You've just kind of, you know, just kind of hanging out a little bit. And God tonight is calling you into a deeper walk with him. He's calling you into deeper fellowship with him. For some of you, it's sin that you've been wrestling with. It's addictions. It's this hypocrisy of showing up and going, oh, check me out. Look at me. I'm doing great. But inside, we're messed up and we know it and we need help. Tonight, you cry out to Jesus Christ for help. He's going to meet you right where you are. He's going to help you. He's going to wash you. He's going to cleanse you. And he's going to help you deal with that thing in your life. Set you free from the bondage of this stinking world. Guys, this planet is, it's a mess. It's falling apart all around us. It's temporal. It's not going to last. Detach yourself from this sick stuff. Grab a hold onto all that Jesus Christ has for your life. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Jesus, and we thank you, God, for your love. We thank you, Jesus, that although we try to hide behind masks, we try to do our little thing, that God, you see full well what's going on, and God, you love us all the same. You forgive us, you wash us, you cleanse us. We thank you for that, Jesus. You guys, right now in this moment, as we're in this time of prayer, I can't help but to close this time. I really believe God's speaking to a lot of your hearts right now. And if tonight you just want to say, Jesus, and it's not looking around, it's not whatever, you're just going, Jesus, I want to open my mouth wide. I want to surrender my life completely, fully over to you. Every little area, these things maybe I've been hiding. God, I want to go further with you. I want to surrender right now in this moment. I'm going to ask you to do something pretty bold. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. And looking around, it's just you and God. And you're saying, Lord, I want you. God bless you. God bless you. Just stand to your feet right now. You're going, Jesus, I want it all. Stand to your feet right now. Go ahead, you guys. God's just dealing with your heart right now. Guys, this isn't, I'm doing this because I hear other people doing this. Sorry, I'm doing this because, you're just doing this because God is calling you to surrender right now fully to him. Those areas of sin, those areas of rebellion, maybe God's calling you into deeper walk with himself. And right now you want to make that decision. You stand to your feet and join these that have. God bless each one of you. Anyone else at all? God bless you. God bless you. Each one of you that are standing, you're just, as you leave that seat, you're leaving an old way of life. You're leaving a life that was maybe bound to some things, a life that was holding back, and you're saying, I'm going for it completely, all for him. Anyone else, you just stand to your feet right now. God bless each one of you. Awesome. Awesome. Let me give you one last moment here. Jesus Christ died on that cross so you could be brought into full fellowship with him, full volume. It's great, you guys. Let God do that work in your heart. Anyone else right now, you just need to surrender. God is just tugging on your heart. You know what happens sometimes? It's almost like you God bless you. You feel that tug on your spirit, and you're going, no, I'm going to hold it down. I'm holding it. It's almost like putting a cork on top of a fizzing bottle, you know? And I'm just saying, rip open that cork tonight. Just let it go. It's like, here I am, Lord. I just surrender to you. Everyone else, you stand to your feet. God bless each one of you. I'm going to wrap this up in a second. But I know God's still tugging on some of your hearts right now. Listen, there's no sin too big that he can't forgive, he can't cleanse. Awesome, man. There's nothing too big for your Savior that conquered the cross, conquered the grave, rose again. Would you give your life to him in this moment? Anyone else at all? A few more seconds. God bless you, bro. Great decision, man. Any others want to join these soldiers that are surrendering their life to Jesus right now, wholeheartedly? All right. I'm going to pray for those of you guys who are standing right now. This is what's going to happen. Listen, I'm going to pray out loud. I want you guys to repeat in prayer with me out loud, okay? And you're just going, God, I give it to you. I give it all to you, all right? I know I've blown it, but Jesus, here I am. So let's do that together. Just repeat in prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love. I thank you that while I'm a sinner, I thank you that while yet I'm a sinner, you still love me. I thank you for dying on the cross in my place and rising again to lead me into life. I confess you as Lord of all my life, of every room in my heart. I surrender myself to you completely and wholly. I pray you'd fill me with your spirit and help me to walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Amen. Give it up for Chris, guys.